Good evening, and welcome to once again another exciting training session here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I'm so thankful, as always, for our apostle. I tell you, he's in a whole nother day. And I want all of us to be partakers of the grace that is upon his life. That is why God told him to establish the school of ministry. Number one, so that we can see the anointing fall upon him. And then we have this great insight that because he is an apostle, he's opening up the portals of heaven so that we could be beneficiaries of all that Jesus accomplished on our behalf. So we're going to get started picking up where we left off from our last session. We're in the seventh stage, the time of revivalists. And on last week, we spent a lot of time talking about the principle of spiritual fathering. But we're going to move. This is chapter number 18. And we're going to move farther into times of the revivalists. Spiritual succession and continuance. We are responsible to maintain the past victories and the present destinies. We are a generation where the past and the future are held together. We need to be faithful over all that we have in Christ. We need to cherish and nurture all that our forefathers have achieved and gained. The forefathers have invested in us their hope and their dream. The forefathers have gained many things and exploits, not for themselves, but to lay a solid foundation for us to run and win this race. The forefathers' desires are not only achieved, but they are brought to perfection, and their efforts are rewarded in our attainment in Christ. Now, concept on spiritual fathering. Spiritual fathering is an apostolic function rendered to those on whom the apostle wants to reproduce himself into. Spiritual fathering raised up continuance to the spiritual ministry that God has placed in a particular town. The spiritual ministry gathers momentum, and it gets reproduced through the sons that are in the faith. The son now duplicates the call and the ministry and multiplies the effectiveness of the original spiritual ministry. Different ways of fathering to produce different calibers in sons. In spiritual fathering, we need to realize the type, the way, or the method the spiritual father uses, which is dependent upon the nature of his call and ministry. The more mature and developed a spiritual father is in ministry, the greater the horizon and scope for the spiritual sons. We can only beget after our own kind. Spiritual fathering is not a production of any kind, but it is a reproduction of our kind. Spiritual fathering requires maturity of ministry. For spiritual fathering to fully take place, we need to develop the maturity to reproduce ourselves in and through the lives of others. We need to stay faithful until the dimension of Christ is fully formed in them. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Spiritual fathering is God ordained, and it is also God commissioned. Spiritual fathering requires motivating their potential and gifting to full maturity. A good father talks or speaks to his son's potential, but a bad father reacts to his own faults in his sons. We must witness the grace of God in people and nurture them in that grace. There is a balance between reproducing ourselves in others without destroying their own unique personalities and producing clones who do not have an identity of their own. Spiritual fathering is to produce self-government in sons. Sons must be taught how to police their own lives. They must learn how to fight for their own spiritual bread and butter. We cannot become dependent on spiritual fathers. Overdependence reveals a lack of maturing in sons. Spiritual fathering is solidly based upon covenant relationship. Spiritual fathering cannot be carried out by organizational expertise. It is a functional relationship and not a mechanical task. Spiritual fathering is to produce successors who will rocket past us in ministry. Fathers are never threatened by their sons' achievements. Fathers desire that their children excel and surpass them in every way of prosperity and blessings. Fathers desire the children to break into new areas that they themselves have failed to explore. The desire of spiritual fathers is not only to reproduce themselves in others, but also to achieve through them their call and their ministry. When the message is spread to others, it becomes a movement that impacts and affects the nation. The whole nation flows with the man and his message. This is the principle of succession in motion. The process of fathering. The times of the revivalists are times of training by the process of what? Impartation. The fastest way of training is through the spiritual process of impartation. Impartation is the ability to plant in a seed form into the spirits of others what apostles or fathers possess in their lives, ministries, and call. Impartation also releases with it a supernatural quickening on that planted seed to mature it to full harvest. The quickening spirit is also released to speed up the time of maturity and fullness. The training that comes by impartation is supernaturally effective. Now hold 1 second and turn to Romans 1 and 11. And also I want you to turn to Philippians 4. And I think we'll start about the 8th verse. First, we're going to read Romans 1 and 11. This is Paul speaking to the believers that are at Rome. Watch what he says. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Now, here's something. You cannot impart that which you have not received. You cannot deliver to someone else that which you have not received. Philippians 4, and let's start at about the 8th or the 9th verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Watch what he says now. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now that's awesome. Now there's one other passage, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, and that's the only verse I think I want to cover, but it bespeaks that impartation. See, the Lord Jesus Christ deposited and imparted to those 12 men whom he chose from amongst many disciples and ordained them to be what we call apostles of the Lamb. Go ahead. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. This is what Paul said. For I have received of the Lord that which also I what? Delivered unto you. So what is Paul saying? I received this from the Lord. So I'm now able to deliver it unto you. And we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he's referring to the Lord's Supper. Now, you know, Paul was not there at the table with the 12. But by revelation, God revealed to him. The Lord Jesus appeared to him and revealed to him, watch this, the meaning of the Lord's Supper, the meaning of the communion element. Okay, let's move forward. Go ahead. The training that comes by impartation is supernaturally effective, and it multiplies the results. The mature minister is reproducing a greater measure to his ministry. He lives through those whom he has trained. The process of impartation. Haggai chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one is unclean by a dead body, touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Impartation cannot take place through superficial contact or touch. Only a touch of diligent faith can draw impartation into our lives. Impartation can be done only by life transfer. Only a life force can implant seeds. Impartation requires intense, passionate hearts. Impartation requires forceful release. Romans 1 and 11 again. Paul said, for I long to see you, that I like this. Notice what Paul said. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. Now, you remember last week we talked about how God told Moses, I want you to lay your hands on these 70 elders and take of your spirit and put upon them. The same thing happened in the life of Joshua, who was Moses' minister. See, that impartation comes through a covenant relationship and also connection. See, some people get into what I call a superficial connection. They only want the benefit of the one they serving. In Luke 16 and verses 10 and 11, I want you to get that passage, because this also bespeaks not only covenant relationship and impartation, but it goes on to show you that if you're not faithful in another man's house, you can't have your own. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The next verse. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So right away, you can understand from reading Luke chapter number 16, verses 1 through 12. If you study those passages out, you know, resources, how you handle money, how you handle seed, how you handle what God have put in your hand tells a lot about what you will do with the true riches. And I think in the body of Christ, you know, we're around one of the greatest apostles in God's kingdom, a general in our day. Now, I can't speak for everybody else. I can only speak to the one that God connected me to. I can testify and bear witness that he is exactly who he say he is. He's exactly what God made him to do. And the impartation that he is releasing upon his sons and daughters in ministry is in full bloom and in full manifestation. You need to look no farther than Dr. Daniel Robertson of Mount Gilead, Full Gospel Church. You saw him in his ministry during camp meeting. I use him as an example because he is definitely 100% doing exactly what God instructed him to do. And it cost him when he walked away from what people would have considered success in ministry. But you found out during the course of that meeting that he told he was being raped. He was being a whore in ministry. And he made the switch. And look at his life now. He's walking step by step on the heels of our apostle. And so how can this happen? His own jet paid for. His entire ministry paid for. His house, everything he owns, paid for. His wife, his children are following in him. His ministry is just bursting out of the seam. One of the largest ministries in LTMA, and may I say, a ministry of complete excellence. Go ahead. Impartation is only possible if we have something that we can impart. We cannot impart what we do not personally possess. We cannot impart what we do not have. Impartation will affect every aspect of our lives. A human seed impregnated into a human body not only brings about biological changes, but also hormonal and psychological changes. Impartation takes place at different levels of spiritual maturity. The impartation of a pastor to leaders needs a greater level of maturity and resources on the part of the one imparting. Impartation is to produce quick succession to the mature ministries. The Lord allows us to nurture that seed through a period of time. And the quickening spirit cut short the time of the process of maturity. The apostolic impartation reproduces many quickly and brings them to their full potential in ministry. The times of the revivalist are times of networking of churches and ministry. For the times of revival to gather momentum and to gain credibility, the Lord is preparing a great spiritual net. This net is formed by linking together ministers and whole churches. The Holy Spirit is compelling leadership to cross the different streams in the body of Christ, and sometimes crossing international barriers in order to elate and work together for the end time purposes to be fulfilled. The stronger these bonds of covenant and interrelationships are, the stronger the spiritual net for harvest is going to be. Ephesians chapter number 4, verses, well, let's go to verses 11 through 16. I want us to read that at this time. And God, and this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave them for the perfecting of the saints. He gave them for the work of the ministry. And he gave them for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. Now watch this. What was all of that said for? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking, this is what these ministry gifts ought to be doing, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now go to Ephesians 2, 18 through verse 21. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up to a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That is the purpose of apostolic ministry, apostolic government, apostolic anointing, and that is what's happening in this apostolic school of ministry up under the leadership of Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. Go ahead. The spiritual networking is necessary because of the magnitude of the end time harvest. Here are the following spiritual benefits of this covenant relationship, networking of ministries and churches. We can become better and more effective vessels in our own communities. We can have great results, achievement, and impact on our own communities. We can prevent a fall from becoming a disaster. We need those companions who can lift us up. Networking helps us to maintain one another's fire. Networking multiplies power for smaller churches to stay in business. And networking is God's end time strategy for world evangelism. And on next week, you will be having your final exams. It most certainly have been a privilege and an honor to share this class, Catching the Waves of Revival, with you by Apostle Jonathan David. There's no possible way for us to cover all of those 18 chapters, but you have the books in your hand and you're able to go and feed from those. And I want to just encourage you, stay focused and stay close to Apostle Thompson. Blessings to you all. Have a great holiday season.